The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Been a very a Tai Fu kind of man and very committed to them. But I couldn't find them on offer this week, so I thought I'd give the Asda ones a go. And here we go.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. Sorry, we've been talking about Steve. There's end of an era here. Really is. Steve, rock and roll, living on the edge. You know, you'd think as you get on in life, generally, you take less risks. Steve just revealed to us he's knocked Taifu tea on the head. He's gone for Asda's own decaffeinated tea. Wow. Now, that's a departure from a lifestyle we've come to love and know about Steve. You know, the type of tea.
We could be going back, you know, I'm just giving it a test, giving it a roll.
Wow. Live on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And people say you get staid in your old age and you know, like routines, like comfort, like familiarity. Steve
Not
doesn't care.
Steve.
No, he's going straight for Asda's decaf tea bags. Crazy. Just, do you know what I found this, Steve, with own brand tea? A long time ago, do you know what? It's worrying, actually. As you get older, you realise you talk about things, you think they're like 5 years ago, and you realise they're like 20 years ago. You think, oh, my God. So about 20-odd years ago, I decided to buy, you know, scrimp on a bit of money and bought own brand tea bags. They may have moved on since then, but I'm not joking. It's like drinking cardboard. There's nothing in it. I couldn't taste it at all. It was dreadful. Certain own brands, they get away with it. But the tea bags, in my mind, weren't a patch on there. Is it, Steve? Let's have a live trial here.
I've just literally had my first sip, and actually, it's a little bit weaker, but actually, not much difference at all.
Yeah. Well, they moved on. See, they've got to these days.
Yeah. I think the trick with tea is leaving the bag in there and not just trying to force it out.
Don't try to force it out, Steve. In any situation,
not just
in tea bags, but everything. Never try and force it out.
That's a rule of thumb.
Yeah. if you're going that far to force it out, then in life generally, don't force it out. Anyway, as I say, do you know what? All the internet, really, in an odd way, I'm going to bring this round now. It's not cheers. Watch this, guys. Watch this neat, seamless segue. So you're talking there about own brand and brands, yeah? Now, what would make you buy a brand if the brand is more expensive and the own brand is a similar taste but cheaper? What would make you buy a brand? Steve, you just encapsulated there, right? You've defected from a brand, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
A strong brand. Now, you've always gone back to that brand because you know the brand. You know what you're getting, and so it's quality. You know, you like it. That's a brand. But now, will you be tempted to ditch the brand to save a couple of pounds? How much are you saving there? A couple of pence, really?
Well, my tea went up in price, obviously, going to decaf, because decaf's more expensive than normal tea, so I'm just trying to find an alternative.
Why is that? They're taking stuff out, aren't they? Isn't caffeine...
It's more of a process, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
It's right, though, isn't it? Oh, they're taking stuff out. It's more of a process. Costs more. That's the strength of brand, I suppose, isn't it? You know, when you're not worried about the price going. How much did it go up, Steve, to make you want to change your? Because they've hit a sensitive price point with you there, haven't they?
It wasn't the case that they'd gone up. They're usually on offer, and I'm not at a point where they're on offer in the supermarket. So, and it was literally a third of the price. I thought, you know what, give it a go.
They're not on offer. You've missed time to shop there, Steve. When you only buy them when you're on offer, do you?
Well, no, I tend to buy most of my items in my house on bulk. So if I see something on offer, I buy lots of it. So if shampoo's on offer, I'll buy about 10 bottles.
The world of Steve. It's the most input he has in the podcast is when he's talking about like his weekly shop. And
he's like an old lady, isn't he, really? I suppose when you live on your own like that, Steve, you just potter around you and just do things that are odd. Things that come normal to you that other people would think, you are odd. But
I don't think he's odd. I think he's endearing.
Do you know what annoys me? When we run out, we're getting on the stocks and shares now. When we run out...
It's a long segue, but we're getting there.
When we run out of toilet paper in our house, I hate that. I find that so annoying. I said to the wife, buy absolute... Oh, I was going to say the appropriate word there. Buy a load of it. I said, fill the attic with it. It didn't sleep in the attic. We're never going to stop. She's very controlling about shopping. She likes to get the right prices. Yeah. But listen, we're never going to stop doing that business. I never one day said, you know what, I've never gone to the toilet. I'm not going to bother anymore. It's always going to happen. I'm always going to do my number twos. You know, just fill the house with it. The attic's half empty. Fill the attic. Fill the attic with bog roll. It'll insulate the house, and I'll never. Okay, I may have to climb the attic step ladder when I'm having my trousers around my ankles. But that's worse than going to the shop with my trousers around my ankles. So we
This is where I'm on the same page because I do buy them the biggest the attic you can possibly buy.
Same sheet. We're on the same sheet. No, exactly. I mean, if you've got any spare room in your house, just fill it with toilet roll. It's a good insulator. You'll always need it. There will never come a when you die, pretty much. You know, that's it. And you can put that in your will.
You can adopt the approach suggested by, was it the Brazilian president, of just pooping every other day. That'll save the planet,
apparently. What have you said?
Yeah, that was his. That's his initiative. To help with climate change and obviously emissions and the rest.
That couldn't have been his number one in this gym. Am I number two, yeah?
Very good.
The Amazon's on fire. Talking about Brazil, the Amazon's on fire at an alarming rate, and it's quite worrying actually about global warming. I saw a really shocking article about if it keeps burning this rate, literally. It's the lungs of the entire planet, the Amazon, pretty much. It's like setting fire to your lungs. The body can't cope. You know, the body will just collapse. That's it. So it's quite a lot. It's something like 10 football fields a second or something ridiculous is burning. So I don't know why they got that many football fields there, though, in the Amazon. That's why they couldn't at football, I suppose. Brazil, is it?
Oh, yeah, good point. That's it.
Okay, let's move on to stocks and shares. Let's start off with the bids, because I think the bids came up with some phenomenal... Two bits of news now have been really good. We got demand side, supply side, pretty much. Did you see the news, Steve? The news of bid stack.
Yes, I did. I was actually out filming and trying to catch up with it, like, on the fly. But, it seems really good.
You were on a fly?
On a fly, yeah. But I don't know much about gaming. I don't really do it myself, but I do know that Fortnite is massive.
Are you not a gamer, Steve?
I'm not, no.
Are you a homeowner?
I used to be.
You are a homeowner, though, yeah?
Yeah.
But you're not a gamer.
Not a gamer.
Not a gamer.
But you are a homeowner, yeah?
Homeowner.
I'm a homeowner, yeah.
What, Steve? I'm home over. Yeah, so listen, two bits of big news, isn't it? I mean, I think we talked about the last one, but who's drinking? Because that guttural sort of sluicing of the water in the throat, it's your cheap tea, Steve, isn't it?
It is, yeah, sorry. I'll find mute it when I'm gulping. Yeah.
I can't believe you said who's drinking when we've had about a 10-minute conversation about Steve making a cup of tea. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
A cup of char. Oof. Yeah. A cup of splosh. I used to eat that. I used to say this. A cup of splosh. Pete Beale. Idiot. Right.
Okay.
So first and foremost, they did this sort of App Nexus, which is one of the biggest demand-side programmatic platforms. This basically turbocharges ad fill. You know, brands from around the world just select. We want to advertise in gaming. Of course we do. It's a captured audience there. It's a captive audience. So they've got that. And then I didn't see this coming. They've done a deal with Steve. I'm assuming you didn't watch the video last night. I did. Were you on the fly, were you?
I have not. I've been watching all of it. I didn't watch last night. No, I haven't had time yet.
Just that one again.
Just that one, yeah.
I've watched all of them. He was on the fly. Either a big fly, you're very small, or meet in the middle, maybe. But like a rodeo fly. Anyway, listen, so, yeah. And then last night, a couple of days back, Unreal Engine. That's Epic Games. Epic Games, at the moment, is the biggest sort of name in gaming. Fortnite. Has ruled the world. Billions have earned from that. And my kid's obsessed with the dances from Fortnite. I haven't even allowed them to play the game. And so that's how it sort of seeped its way into... You know, I've seen kids... was it the Olympics? This guy was doing his odd dance, this little boy, by the side of the mountain bike track at the Olympics, I think it was, or one of the things. And that's the floss, you know? And my kids do the floss and do other kinds of dances. And it's really... infiltrated mainstream, isn't it? The dances from and is that so big?
Is that from Fortnite?
Yeah, it the floss.
No, it didn't start at Fortnite. It started on Saturday Night Live. But anyway, whatever.
What?
Carry on.
No.
Yes, it was the what's he called? The Rucksack Kid or whatever on Saturday Night Live with Katy Perry. That was the original. That was the origin of the floss. But anyway, okay. And then Fortnite, yes, it got in.
Okay, but yeah, Fortnite, there's quite a few dances on Fortnite, apparently. There's a zombie, yeah. There's a couple of other things. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, it's one of the biggest games around the world. What they've got is very clever. What Epic do is very clever. They do an open source system called the... what's it called? Engine, the Unreal Engine, where it's basically, in our parlance, it's like Adobe giving you all its kit for free to build games, or build something, you know? So all top-end kit you can have to build games, if you're a developer, really slick stuff. And the thing is, if you start earning commercially $3,000 a month, they take a cut of it. That's it. But also, you'll always be reliant on their software, you know, and their cloud-based software that you use. So it's very clever. So basically, any game that becomes big, and their games, Fortnite was created on that, and everything. But, so they've opened up, they said to BidStack collaboration with Epic Games, and yeah. Right, you can use our Unreal Engine, you can put a plug-in on that. Unreal. Any developer can put an advert in their game. You go cut BidStack, of course. Big brands can advertise in games, and I think Unreal Engine or Epic Games will get a cut when that game makes about $3,000 or more a month. And this is for the entire back catalogue. So if you fix this on my video last night, or this is Thursday, we were recording this on Thursday, but on my video on Wednesday, I went to Wikipedia and I scrolled through all the games on the Unreal Engine. And I really was scrolling through quite quickly. And literally, there's hundreds of games have been developed using this engine. And so the potential, the back catalogue, the inventory possibility is massive here. I'm not saying they're all going to use it, of course, because some will not suit, you know, in-game advertising. But there's a phenomenal amount of games on there. And it's amazing. It's better than just, you know, rather than doing a game with one publisher, this is a potential, you know, 10... 20, I don't know how many, 30, well, there's hundreds on there, hundreds. But obviously, some of them are fight up, you know, shoot 'em up to the games, maybe you wouldn't have advertising in. But but it's up to the developers to actually insert. So I'm assuming, you know, Epic or will send out some kind of, I don't know how they do it, how they communicate with developers, saying, but basically, it's a decent revenue stream here available. You can now put adverts in your games if it suits the game, you know. So that's excellent for BidStack, isn't it? Really, to be linked with Epic Games anyway. You know, that kind of brand association. Like I said, yes. Back to brands, you know? When you are, like, associated with the brands like Epic Games,
yes.
Other companies will say, that's due diligence for other companies, saying, well, they're using BidStack, you know, for in-game advertising. That's all we need to know, really. They've got Grids yeah. Now, they've got FM Manager, they've got, you know, they've got Epic Games. That's all you need to know, isn't it? It's like, essentially, if I'm trying to put this in analogous form, but if you're going to buy something, Steve or Pete, right... And you write every big brand or some of the most, you know, most contemporary big brands have bought from this company. You can buy it at the same kind of price. You think, well, okay, I trust that then. Because otherwise, these bigger companies wouldn't be buying from this company if it wasn't any good. Will you? So it makes sense, doesn't it? It's just really good. Reaffirmation of the brand. They've yes. Got the inventory. They've got the sign-ups. I honestly think, I said on the video last night, I think BidStack's gone from being one of the most exciting companies on AIM to potentially one of the most exciting companies in the UK. And I genuinely think this will be the kind of company that the government, you know, departments will say, will champion and say, look, UK tech startup, look how well it's doing. It's now, you know, in with the big boys. In a couple of years' time, I think BidStack will be, you know, a household name against amongst all the big guys in Silicon Valley. And it'll be a sort of one of those companies will say, look at that. That's a British tech startup that's up there with the best of Silicon Valley, you know?
Yeah, it totally is an endorsement of the technology, isn't it? When you've got somebody, a player like Epic Games and whatever, you know, endorsing and taking that step into collaborating with them and kind of confirming, obviously, the technology has a place in their games. The thing that's unknown at this stage is exactly what that entails for BidStack, isn't it? Like, exactly how much they could earn out of this, how big they could be. I totally agree that it's on paper, potentially, it's huge, isn't it? Yeah. But it's difficult, and they're now sat at what, 78 million market cap. What is the potential?
Someone emailed me and said, "Why isn't the share price going up?" And I said, "Listen, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I'm aware, the forecast, their broker forecast for them are still unchanged. You know, hitting 5.6 million or 5.8 million revenue this year, profitable next year, 20 million." Next year, 5 million profit next year. So, you know, to a certain extent, you have to tie the valuation to that. I mean, of course, it can be a high multiple of that, but you have to tie the valuation to that. You can't just say it should be worth $10 billion right now, because, of course, you know, that's unrealistic. It's not tethered to anything. It's just tethered to... So, what you say is, if you look at this year, look at next year. Like I said, if they're in $5 million profit, and looks like they could... This is just the start of news, I believe, anyway. If they're earning $5 million next year, like I said, you know, 10 times, you wouldn't put it on 10 times. That's for a conservative, a stable company that's paying dividends pretty much at the PE of 10. Now, high-flying tech, you know, a pioneer in its field, you could put anything, you know, from 20, 30, 40, 50, up to 100 times. Like Rightmove and all that was on 100 times easy, you know. So,
And that's just dictated by the number of people, basically, or investors that want to get involved and push the price up, isn't it, really? That's what dictates that. It is.
No, but certainly it'll always be tied. People will always do, people will say...
Yeah, a calculation.
There'll be lots of people who won't get involved because they're not growth stocks and they're at high valuations. They'll avoid it. But like I said, it's one of the brothers from the Motley crew, the Motley Fool.
Not the Motley Crew.
No, it's a band. Stiffants. One of those guys has always gone for high growth, high valued companies that have always been talked about as being high overvalued, and they've all he's managed to get into Netflix. He's managed to get into Amazon. I think he was in eBay. He's caught a lot of the big movers because essentially all the traditional analysts said, "Oh, this is overvalued." Do you know what? It's not. It's a cutting edge stock. They're going to do very well, and he's done very well just by jumping on those high growth, seemingly overvalued companies. You know, because they're
What I would say about Vista is like when it was 8p, 10p, 12p, and that was very much the hype cycle and pushing up. What they've actually proven now is there is method there, and there is actually substance. They are proving what they were saying when it was 8p, 6p, whatever, that the hype was justified. And they're now up at the level they're at now because they're proving that there is things coming as they promised there would be. My sort of question is, where does it go from here? And what's the actual revenue and how do we actually value the company? Because we don't know how much it can actually generate.
We're assuming we are, like I said, at the moment we're looking at current. We always look at current. People mistake looking at current. I think what we don't see is we're limited by not knowing the future. So I honestly believe this is the start of the news. I think there's a lot more to come. I think now the ball is rolling. They've done two massive deals. I mean, James is delivering, absolutely delivering.
Yeah.
He said he's going to demand side platforms. He's done that. We've seen publishers named top publishers, of course, Codemasters. They won another award somewhere recently. Otherwise, it was Gamescom, I think it was one of the things. But for their games, so top quality games now. They've got a team that's unbelievable team. There's a huge amount of expertise and knowledge in the gaming industry, and like I said, and they're getting these contracts with Epic as well. I mean, I just think this is absolutely the start, really is. And so I don't know where it's going to go from here. Any pullbacks, if we fall for any reason here, and it's based on sort of historic, I don't know when the results are out. End of, I'm assuming September, October, half year results. Now, they did say in their previous results that the revenue, they will hit their targets, they said, but it'll be back-end weighted or H2 weighted. That means, any revenue generation, big revenue generation, will not be in the first half. So, if people are judging, it'll happen, I think. People will judge, BidStack on their H1. They hang on, a lot's happened since then. And I think maybe the share price, if it does dip on that, I'll be topping up, I think. If it dips by a silly amount, I'll top up because I just think this could be one of those companies.
What do you call a silly amount from here, where it's about 32p now? If it dips to what, 25 or something?
Yeah, 25. Yeah, it did. I mean, I think if it dips, if you don't want high double digits. High 99%. No. If we're talking about, so anything over sort of 15%, if it dips in that in one day, I'm in, because I know it'll bounce back. It's one of those things, like cork in water. Do you want to check that Steve hasn't poisoned himself with the own brand? Steve, are you still there?
No, I'm still here, yeah.
Just take it all in.
Just nothing to say on this, yeah.
Yeah, just waiting for just
kind of agreeing.
Yeah.
Right. Nodding on the podcast.
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
Nodding on the podcast. Okay, anything else news-wise? Anything on macro? Have you noticed that... did you get involved with Argo Mining?
No.
I didn't, no.
I've had a very busy kind of week, 10 days, and I just haven't really done anything to do with stocks and shares. I saw your video about them, and you've mentioned a couple of other stocks that look interesting as well, but I haven't...
I haven't covered the other one, so I'm going to mention... I was going to mention... I bought another company, right? And I thought there'd be some churn in it, and I thought it'd be... And I said this on the midweek video. I said, listen, I bought another company. I will highlight it. I didn't have time... This year, Monty's bed started falling apart, so we took it apart and we ordered a double bed, a bunk bed. We have to put it together. It wasn't from IKEA, we had to put it together. Right. And there's some scratches on the one we ordered, so we've half. It's in on the instructions. 4 hours to put up, right?
Right.
6.5 hours later, we haven't even done half the bed. And literally, shouting at each other, me and the missus, and really generally not getting on. You know?
I can imagine that happening.
No. Well, so did I just pass out and miss out a bit of podcast?
So that happened on a Wednesday, which is my when I prepare for my midweek video, and I was going to update on a new stock I'd bought. So I didn't have time because the bunk bed took precedence.
The bunk
over
bed,
that. Yeah,
right.
It's not even a bunk. It's not even a bed yet. It's not even a bunks. No. You know, it's just it's just some random bits of wood in the bedroom there, and we've done the stepladder. But there's nothing to get into, so we've completed the stepladder. Yeah, I don't know how rubbish we are DIY, right? We made a stepladder, and there's these metal bars, like square bars that you put below the steps to support the steps, you know. And on one set of the steps, there was like these metal bars. There was like a yellowy sort of orange strip. And what was that, a sticker or something? What was that, you know, a sticker? So obviously we put those upwards, so they're facing under the steps. You don't see that yellowy strip, but there was a sticker or something. And then the mother-in-law came down and said, oh, and we told her about it. She said, oh, no, they're luminous, they are. So you can see the steps. They're meant to face out, not up.
Yeah.
So, oh, they're taking apart. They're pulling them out. So it's like small things like that all the time. I'm just rubbish at it, you know. Like, you put something
together. Why do you read the instructions?
You put something together, and you get the second bit, and try and put that attach that bit to the first bit, and you realise, oh, this is not even fitting. You realise you put one bit the wrong way around, and do it all. You know, I'm looking at the instructions, but they're never very clear, are they? They don't say anything. It's just pictures. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
Anyway, okay. So there's a company I bought, and I said, I'm not going to talk about it yet. I'll do it on the weekend podcast. We're going camping this weekend. Yes, we're going camping this weekend. Oh, hello everyone. Have you seen my tent? Oh, is that what you do when you go camping?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, very, very camping.
Yeah.
You just said you're going to announce it on the weekend podcast.
I said that in the video as well. I'm going to cover it on my weekend video. The new stock I bought. Trouble is, it rallied strongly on Thursday. I'm going to get clues away, which was quite annoying because I like when I looked at cover a stock, I like for it to be buy. One of my rules is never buy a company as it's risen by double digits. You know, always try to buy on a down day. It'll probably come back. I think when you get a stock like this, small cap that's goes up like this, there's some traders to think of, and it's not that liquid, so traders sort of sell out. It'll come back a little bit, hopefully. But I see potential. It's one of the smallest caps I've invested for a while that I genuinely think has decent long-term potential. The trouble is, I always go for companies that are below 20 million market cap. When you get down below 10 million, it's higher risk because the quality isn't there. But if you find a company down there and you apply quality filters, then potential is very good because, of course, it's quite easy to double from, say, 5 million to 10 million market cap. Once you get to 10 million, you have to double to 20 million. It gets a little bit harder because you have to generate £10 million worth of value. And you get 20 million, double again. So people don't understand about market capitalization, the valuation of the company. To double, it's quite hard to generate. If you're a company that, like I said, no FTSE 100 companies double pretty much. Very rarely do they ever do that because they are like 4 billion in value. How do they, in real terms, generate another 4 billion overnight from his balance sheet and from his profits? Mm-hmm. And so it's easy for small cap companies that are not yet generating revenue, that are seen as undervalued because they're not generating revenue, and all of a sudden, the potential is quite good, actually. And so this could be worth, a couple, say, 30 million. So even if this company is worth 30 million, in a few years' time, then that's several bags, but you have to be careful. The lower you go, the more potential, the more reward, but the more risk. And that's why you have to employ some quality filters. Otherwise, you may pick a right dog, with mange. A dog with mange who looks okay, and then you leave, you know, it's like going to actually get a dog from the kennels. A dog is going to be put down. You think, I'm going to get a dog, actually. I'm going to go to the kennel, save your dog's life. And his eyes are sparkling like that. And he comes, you know, you say, I'll have that one there. And you just see him, you know, below the wall and in the cage there. They bring him out and literally is dragging his back legs. You know, oh, hang on, that dog is actually naked. You should put him down, actually, I think.
or give him a life, you know. A lovely life the rest of his life.
Or strap some roller skates to his back legs. Construct something on his back legs. But then again, that takes, you know, a bit of capital investment, doesn't it? And a bit of time and effort. Yeah. When really, you just could have picked another dog. It wouldn't have cost you as much time and effort.
Yeah, but that's not as nice, is it?
No, it's not as nice.
Looking after a sick animal.
I assume
this company. Sorry, this. So this company we're talking about.
It's nothing to do with dogs, Steve.
I'm not going to mention it, but when I was looking for it, I know we've already spoken about this in our WAP group, but I wanted to bring it up. So sometimes you get.
Do you say WAP? Do you say WAP?
WAP.
A what?
WAP.
Is that what the kids say?
Is that how the kids say? Is that get down with the kids? You see WAP?
I don't know. I'm 38. I don't know what the kids get down with.
Well, why are you saying WAP? You obviously missed out some letters.
It's just quick. What's that? Well, you know what I'm talking about.
It's not quick, is it? Because it's taking you longer now to explain it than WAP.
You brought it up.
WAP.
Say WAP. Say WAP.
What are you talking about?
I speak to you on WAP.
I'm sorry, but I don't have the WAP app. I have the WhatsApp app, but I don't have the WAP app. Is that similar?
WhatsApp. I didn't say WAP. I said WhatsApp.
It's not WhatsApp, Steve. Have you not read the actual thing? It's not WAP. It's not WhatsApp. WhatsApp. If you're looking for taps, WhatApp.com. What tap do I want for my kitchen? What tap? Steve, you do it properly. Let's not again. This has saved you a lot of time, this, isn't it?
I know.
That T and the S has saved you a lot of time. Go on.
Yeah. Okay, so we were talking about it on the WhatsApp group.
Hey! All right.
And when I went to search for it on the Vox Market, so there's different, there was the same company with different tickers. Now, you were saying something about being on the Next Exchange.
Yes. What's the question? That's a statement. What's the question?
Well, what's the difference?
Oh, there we are. That's the question.
So I know the London Stock Exchange, but why? What is the difference?
Ask him on the WAP.
I'll give you the answer on the WAP. Trouble is, I'm not on there. I'll have to download the WAP. Essentially, London Stock Exchange and AIM, owned by the same company. You know, it's regulated markets. But the London Stock Exchange, the main market, what's called the main market, like BT and all the big companies on. Well, you don't have to be a big company, actually. It's quite regulated. And in fact, they've even deregulated a little bit too. If you're a smaller company now, you can still get on there quite easily. But AIM was there meant to be less regulation, easier for companies. It's meant to be a growing market for growth stocks. So they come to the market with no revenue. Previously, the main market in London, you had to have something like 5 years of profits and revenue and all that sort of accounts, or 6 years of accounts to get on there, a proper business to get on there. And then they created the AIM market, which is for growth companies, startups and all that stuff, you know, with entrepreneurs. And so it's a lot riskier. And it is, you know, it's like 72% of companies have lost money in the last 20 years of AIM. So it's a stock pickers market. You have to be, there's no point. Someone said to me, is it worth going to fund covering AIM? I said, no, because the majority of AIM is trash, absolute trash. You've got to pick good quality stocks in AIM. That's the thing. Most of them go bust or lose value, you know. So you've got AIM and you've got the main market owned by London Stock Exchange, pretty much. And then you've got this Next Exchange, a different, independent. That's less liquid. Again, there's less regulation. It's cheaper to join that as well. By the way, with AIM, you have to have a Nomad, which is a nominated advisor to help sort of retailers and their companies as well. It's an extra level of regulation for them and safety. But Next is even less regulation. It's cheaper to access, but it's a listed. You are a listed company. When you go on there, you are a listed company, so the public can buy your shares. You know, the difference between a private company and obviously a public company, you know, a PLC, people can actually own a share of your company. That's why it's called shares. But the thing is, it's very illiquid. You know, the only thing I've ever owned on there, actually, is Kryptonite. Remember Kryptonite, the investor? Yeah. Like I said, Kryptonite was in the investor in cryptocurrencies, and they weren't allowed on AIM, because even AIM said, no, cryptocurrencies, you can, that's clown's money. So even they weren't allowed on it. So Kryptonite was only allowed on the Next Exchange. And so some companies list on both, or the shares can be listed on both, and it's just to help liquidity, because, I mean, of course, the more places you can buy shares, hopefully, the theory is, it's easier for them to raise capital, it's easier for people to deal in their shares, the spread becomes less. I suppose if you liken it in analogy terms, Steve, it's like if you've got your house for sale on in one shop, you know, I mean, one estate agent, then it's not going to, you know, not going to have many buyers or sellers there, you know. But if you list it with a second shop, this is before Rightmove comes along, of course, and makes it nationwide. But so you put it with two shops, there's more chance of, you know, of you selling it or getting more interest. You know, so it's basically, it's, you know, market makers, an extra market maker, I suppose. And what market makers do, they make a market. They make sure, you know, there's shares to buy. They hold shares so you can buy and sell shares. It's unlike houses. And, like, you know, shares are called liquid investments, pretty much. You can buy and sell them on the same day, pretty much. Seconds, you know, there's always a market there to be made. There's always a buyer, there's always a seller. Houses are illiquid. Like, estate agents don't buy your house off you and then sell it on. You know, you can't just buy and sell your house tomorrow. That's it. It's very illiquid. You have to have a buyer to match a seller. That's it. That is not the same as shares. A market maker, you know, you don't need a buyer. You don't need someone. If you want to sell your BT shares, Steve, 1,000 BT shares, for example, you don't need someone who wants to buy 1,000 BT shares. All you need to do is sell them to the market maker, and they'll sell them on, you know? So that's, so essentially, it's an extra market maker. It's an extra bit of liquidity, extra chance to raise capital. And so when you get small stocks, you get big stocks. There's these people called market makers. In big stocks, they have lots of them, you know, making the market. They all compete. That's why the shares are very liquid. There's very small spreads. In smaller cap stocks, is maybe even one market maker, that's it. And so, you know, they could, and for that risk, the risk they take on holding that stock that's very liquid, not traded very often, they open the spread a bit, that's how they make their money, you know, the gap between the buy and the sell. So, so yeah, that's why smaller cap stocks, less market makers involved, less liquid, bigger spreads, and so they're just trying to get a bit more liquidity, you know, a bit more action, a bit more action, a bit more buy-sell action in their stock, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
I don't know if it's accurate.
I've kind of got the gist.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I bought Argo. I see Argo as a hedge. I really do. It's risen on worries of recession, and like gold has. Gold is coming back a little bit now. Bitcoin has come back a little bit now because everyone's like, it's not that bad actually. You know, that recession we're worried about. The trade tariffs. Trump has stepped back. He's blinked. You know that the inversion of the curve, the yield curve. That shows recession don't happen for 18 months' time, so what are we worried about? We've got plenty of time. But I just feel we are at an all-time worry. We've got Brexit coming up. We've still got the issues. I mean, you know, there's lots of bad figures coming up from around the world. Like, you know, and you can tell this just in bond yields. 25% of government bonds around the world, this is how governments, you know, acquire money. They borrow money to build infrastructure and all that stuff. 25% of them, which is like, I think it's like $15 trillion worth around the world, are yielding negatively. So, you know, basically, there are people in Germany now, I don't understand this. So people in Germany are so fearful of the economy going forward, they are prepared to loan the government a euro and get back less in 30 years' time. That's nuts to me. You know, it's crazy. So, and I think when you've got that lack of return, then you go elsewhere. So you look at maybe gold, maybe Bitcoin, because Bitcoin's very clever. I was talking today to Glenn, who's an author of Cryptocurrency Trader. Do you know Bitcoin? It's meant to have a finite amount of Bitcoin out there. And every 2 weeks, it gets harder to mine Bitcoin. The more people mining it, the harder it gets. And it makes it harder to find Bitcoins or achieve Bitcoins by creating blockchains. So it's an inflation beta, really. So I see it will be a store. People are questioning it, whether it's an actual an asset and a safe store. It is. It's the same with gold. You know, it's very finite amount out there. It's hard to come by. It's hard to mine. It's quite costly to mine. And that's why. So demand is big. Supply isn't big. So it'll always be inflation. And that's the thing.
I don't understand when you talk about mining Bitcoin. What does that actually mean?
So it's just quite technical. In fact, do you know what? I'll give you an exact thing now. So you know blockchains, do you understand what blockchain is?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you now. This is to the top of my head, right? So cryptocurrency mining is a process, this is off the top of my head, whereby miners compete, right, to solve complex mathematical equations to compile recent transactions into blocks using powerful computers. All right. So whenever you make any kind of transaction using a blockchain currency, okay, there's a certain amount of people who have ledgers and they all have to tally, right? If you are one of those people who do that, you're a miner, pretty much. You're helping the blockchain work, okay?
But that's because each block contains a cryptographic hash of the previous block, like a timestamp,
this is off the top of your head, yeah?
Top of my head.
So these blocks contain information on all past transactions, Steve, on the network, and are linked together by cryptography on a decentralized public ledger. That's the blockchain, right? The miners are rewarded for this resource-intensive work through payments in cryptocurrency. So you do this... Do several of these blockchains help out, complete transactions based in complete chain of blocks? You are rewarded with a cryptocurrency. Now, Bitcoin at the moment is about 10.
Who's rewarding you?
I don't know. The people who create the.
Yeah, Mr. Bitcoin.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Bitcoin.
Right.
Barry Bitcoin. Barry and Brenda Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin. I've got the Bitcoins coming over.
Yeah, the Bitcoin.
Just sound very complicated.
Well, it's meant to make it sort of, it's thing is, at the moment, see, Steve, all currencies are issued by central banks, right? They can manipulate that currency, and they do. Like I said, inflation is a killer. Inflation is running at pretty much twice as much as we expect it to be. So if you held 10 quid in your wallet, for like 20 years, that 10 quid... would still be 10 quid, but the buying power of that 10 quid would probably be about, in 20 years, about 7-6 quid, maybe that, maybe half, Now, if you want to avoid that, you've got to invest in assets, that gain sort of value. And those are like gold, or companies that generate profits. So there's different ways of getting return on your money. So that's the thing. Now, Bitcoin, right, there's only a finite amount of it. And I said, the more mining goes on, the harder, every 2 weeks, I think it is, it becomes harder. The rewards get less, so less Bitcoin. So obviously, people are transacting Bitcoin. The value, so they do this to really beat inflation, so they keep the value there. Same with gold, and so these are called safe store assets. So they'll hold their value or even appreciate when every other central bank currency are devaluing theirs by bringing down the interest rates or other things. And everything happens with this, isn't it? In shops, they put the prices up all the time. And also you get shrinkflation, where like a Toblerone, 10 years ago, Toblerone was the size of a car, wasn't it? Now it's the size of your little finger, Steve.
Mm. I've got a big finger, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But cars were big back then. But that's what I'm saying, that's shrinkflation. And you're paying pretty much the same. So you'd have paid a pound for a Toblerone the size of a truck, the size of a country, a small country in Africa. In the 70s, literally it'd take you 50,000 guys to get it home, a Toblerone, and you'd pay a pound for that. Now you're paying a pound for a Toblerone the size of your fella.
That's fella, really well explained.
Your fella downstairs next door. The guy rents downstairs.
You go off track quite a lot, don't you?
What I'm saying is, inflation is a killer. It's the evil. And we have to avoid it by investing and that's why Bitcoin is a safe store. So anyway, what argue am I near? You can't buy Bitcoin in your ISA account. You can't get access to Bitcoin. The best way to get access to Bitcoin is by investing in something like Argo Mining, who mine Bitcoin. They're going to be one of the lowest cost, crypto miners in the world. And that, when it comes to real mining and crypto mining, is so important. It's like when the cost of gold goes down to like $900 an ounce, most miners are not profitable at that rate. They're all in sustaining costs are run by that level. Once it goes below that, it takes out supply. So all of a sudden, people are not producing it. Then that pushes up. Lack of supply, people are still buying gold, lack of supply, the price goes back up. See, so that's the kind of thing you want, a finite resource, something like a precious metal or a cryptocurrency, that's the thing, it holds its value, but with currency it's not the same. They can print as much currency as they want, and that's what devalues it, so you've got monetary stimulus, quantitative easing, they're printing it, and of course it's a supply and demand. When there's more money out there, it's worth less, so they're just printing inflation. It's ridiculous. So what I'm saying is, cash is not king. When it comes to businesses, cash flow is king. But cash as a commodity, is not king, because the central banks, and that's what Bitcoin is trying to do. All these cryptocurrencies are trying to cut out the central banks. That's what they're trying to do. So people say, okay, I don't trust it too much, though, because if it gets too big, too powerful, central banks will step in and they just regulation in some way and tax it, you know. So, but that won't be the same gold. So I think gold, as always. Do you guys hold any gold?
Cora.
Cora. Well, it's leverage to gold, you know.
So yes, all right.
I suppose.
But, that's the only exposure to gold I have, yes.
Do you see how leveraged Cora is to gold here? Look at coming. Have you seen the share price rolling over now? Yeah. Really, really rallied, right? Gold has not even come back that much. It just stopped going up. But all of a sudden, coal is just. And same with Hummingbird. The share price has come over, almost fallen over and dropped quite a bit. Whereas gold itself hasn't. It just stopped going up. So, you know, I think getting an ETF in gold is a lot safer.
Yes.
But if you want a bit of, you know, profit and crazy profit, short-term profit, then it's pretty good to trade a few gold stocks because they're more leveraged to gold than gold itself. Is there any news we've missed this week or anything?
I've just got
a couple of things. Open Orphan, very quiet. You know, Paddy keeps making the joke about when the Orphan's going to start producing these drugs. It's never funny. Never not funny, I mean. But no, I genuinely believe this
is... that was on the WAPAP group, wasn't it?
WAPAP, yeah. But when companies are quiet, that's a time, if you've done your research, if you trust the management, to accumulate. Same as SafeStay. It's really doing my brain in SafeStay. It really is. I'm down about 20% on SafeStay. No, I topped up a little bit. So I'm down on that, right? But it's a genuine sleeping giant bargain. I keep bugging the management. Do more PR. To boast about what you've got, what you're doing. You'll be profitable this year. You've got like 9 million in cash. You've got 14 hostels. You know, you're cash generative. You're going to go up to 20 hostels by this time next year. They're confident. They emailed me that recently. They said, get on. Keep banging your chest. They don't understand that they do one bit of PR and that's it. That'll do. No. There's like 800 companies on AIM, all vying for people's money. The people who stand up and shout the most and publicise every week gets the cash. And I keep saying about this with the radio model. I said, if you're on radio or TV, right, you don't have a company, take an advert, and it runs once. That's it. Doesn't happen. If you watch TV, watch radio, you know, they do a campaign where they hit the screens and it's on the screens like, three times, four times a day for like 4 or 5 weeks, you know, and literally. And then even then, the most regular listener of that radio station will only hear it like, twice a day or twice a week. It's so ridiculous. So I said, don't be worried about it. I remember this guy talking about camping, a guy called Dennis, and he's a guru from America. He came over and he worked with some of the big jocks in the Los Angeles and New York. Like Elvis Duran, and he came over and he did some coaching work with some stations over here. And we said, we seem to be saying the same stuff over and over again. It must be getting very boring for listeners. He said, no, listen. Your average listener, your P1 listener, will only hear your message about twice a week, okay? You don't burn it out, you burn it in. And he did that with really camp eyes, you know, and face.
Right.
And I always remember that. It really stuck with me. You don't burn it out. You burn it in. And so you said you can't repeat enough. And that's what companies that don't get the PR. You have to repeat the story. If you've got a good business, I mean, you know, because Larry Lippman, well, the business in the end will win out. He's not short of cash. He doesn't get it if the share price dips a little bit. You know, he's a multi-millionaire. He's proven more. But like you said, you know, you've got a cracking product, yeah? Cracking brand. You're going to consolidate the hostel market and become, hopefully, several hundred multi-million pound company. But yet you've got to start talking about it a bit more. Please. I'm down 20%. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the truth, yeah.
Emotion.
No, it does seem weird, but there we are.
Emotion. Steve, do you see emotions? I tweeted about it.
I was going to ask about them because I've not actually invested into Emotion yet. I just wondered if it's a good time because they're quite low at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, well, listen, I like him. I like that Martin's a cracking serial entrepreneur. The guy himself, Emotion, they got stock in the game. They bought stock after the placing in the market themselves, 190 grand's worth, already topping the 10-12% of the company anyway, and they valued about 20 million. But they just released, I'll send you a link, Steve, just released a video which is meant for venue operators, I think, and it shows some of the venues they're in already. And it's a really nicely produced video, you know? And it just, to me, underlines the quality of that company. When you're a good quality company, you know, you spend a bit of money than you're on production, you know? And the video itself, and you'd appreciate that. I'll send you a link to it, but it's really nice. Right. The only thing that's wrong, I mean, it's not wrong, because the company they're actually showing is an aquarium in America, is the voiceover's big and American, you know? So, you're 360 VR is really big. I know, but it's like, well, it's not cheesy, but most people like that kind of big American voice, don't they?
Yeah, it's sent over.
Yeah, it's good. Way Education, quite
put
again.
On the WAP group.
Yeah, WAP. Polarian, massive milestone coming up. I think that'll be a barnstormer once it passes that phase three. New Formics, again, we're lacking news. It's almost like some of these guys know that there is no point, you know, chucking news out over the summer months. It's almost like it's like that saying, it's doing that in the wind. You know, you're doing your stuff in the wind, just coming back in your face. It's like, it's a quiet month, you know, and I noticed, do you know what, people get really touchy about EV cars. A lot of people invested in lithium companies or battery metal companies, you know, and I tweeted out that thing. I read that story you sent me, Pete, about hydrogen, pretty much. I did that story, actually, on my top five this morning, but I didn't read down the hydrogen bit. So I read it, and I tweeted it out, and so there's a government report, isn't there, saying we should need to drive less to solve, the technology won't solve it on its own, we need to drive less, but also hydrogen would probably be better for the environment than electric vehicles. And I tweet that out, and you always get people a bit annoyed. One guy had a little dig at me, and he deleted his email. Calm down. It's not my report that I've made up trying to stoke the fires, yeah? This is a government, it's a technology select committee, you know? So they've done a bit of research.
That's always been the case, but hydrogen has just always been too dangerous to commercialise, isn't it?
So it's getting there. I mean, the funny thing is, the Far East there, obviously that plays in the Powerhouse Energy thing, but the Far East there, right, they've invested a lot in hydrogen. Like Toyota and some of these big, you know, car companies out there. And yet, over here, they're not. It seems to be electric vehicles. It'll be interesting to see what wins out. And someone said, I don't think hydrogen will win out, because you can't fill your cars anymore with hydrogen over here. I said, not at the moment. But again, we're thinking current state here, not thinking about the future. I mean, if hydrogen is more environmentally friendly and the cost is similar, that will win out. Because, you know what?
Well, also can't you get a lot more miles out of a hydrogen car than you would out of an electric vehicle?
I don't know, but I know you can fill up very quickly. Within seconds.
And also, with the powerhouse thing, if it also helps to solve the plastic and...
Yes, exactly. So, the environmental movement is not...
It's a win-win, isn't it?
It's not going to get weaker, is it? The movement, pro-environmental movement, it's not going to get any weaker. It's going to get... As we see more effects of, you know, global warming, if that's what's happening, then... It's going to get more urgent, and so anything that, you know, is more environmentally friendly in regards to transport, that will win the day if it's comparable on a cost basis with anything else. But again, it comes at a cost. Anything else? Yeah. Anything else, boys? Motion Way, Polarian, yes, New Formics, Powerhouse, Bizarre with Skin.
Yeah, that's most of the stock exchange covered.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. Zero Technology, do my head in. I need to do
I'm not in there. I've sort of had them on my watch list, and I kind of.
The thing is, you can wait. You know they need to raise some money. So wait till they raise some money and get in after that. Why? Because that's going to, you know, that, at the moment, do you know what? I would dip your toe in now. When it hits a low, dip your toe in. A tiny little, you know, which is your smallest toe, Pete?
It tends to be my little toe.
Is that next to your big toe?
Yeah, that's it.
You imagine I'm just random toes like that, all different sets of toes. You imagine going up with a girl to have a first date, and then you know you get to the stage where you see her toes, and all the toes, like a big toes, like a big toes in the middle, and they're like the triangles, the toes are there.
That would kind of be a bit more symmetrical and normal in a random way, wouldn't it? Kind of like a little pointy.
But I suppose you put your feet together, we are symmetrical, aren't we? We got left and right. But you imagine seeing a lady with two small toes, or four small toes, you know, and like a triangle. And you mentioned that'd be a bit odd, that, wasn't it? But anyway, what I'm saying is dip a small toe in there, I think, when you're ready, when it dips. And massive spread on it, though. It's like, at the moment, I know that's right. That can't be right. That cannot be right. Let me just look at the stock exchange a sec.
Let's see, what is it?
Again, very liquid.
Oh, wow, that's a big spread.
It is. You could drive a bus through that, mate. The bid is 6.6. The offer is 9. That is nuts. That's the. I mean, that's why sometimes it'll show it's up. It's not really up. The offer's moved, the bid's moved, and it's not. It's just not gone anywhere. A tiny bit of volume, but
Harry and Larry is 8.
Yeah, 8's mid, isn't it? It is mid.
No. They got the bid at 6.6 and the ask at 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right.
So there's still quite a big spread, but that's Harry and Larry. You're getting a better price there, see.
Yeah, we get a good price, boys. So I think the tech there is phenomenal. Again, plays in the environment. They got two bits of water saving tech, so I think almost sooner or later to be regulated against businesses using too much water. And also, you know, they 700,000 microplastics go into the water every wash. and they got the only filter that's patented that'll fit, retrofit into any washing machine, pretty much, or a modernish kind of washing machine, that'll stop that. And they've also already got deals with big, massive, in fact, the biggest washing machine manufacturers in China and India, and Atana as well.
Mm.
Atana.
But it's it does have some incredible ups and downs, isn't it, in the last few weeks?
But the CEO is a manager. He's not an owner. He's a manager. He's paid $300,000. He's got $30,000 worth of stock. And I think, what? Mate, come on, Mark. Every announcement you're saying you're getting better in the business. Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is, fella. Really chuck $100,000 in for the placing, right, with everyone else, and that other people will buy as well. Because if you see, if you people, you know what's going on in the company. If you're that confident the company is a game changer, put a big chunk of money in. If it's the best investment you'll ever make, chuck some money in. And that's what I think. Get some skin in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good.
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah.
By the time this goes up, I'll be fighting with a tent in a campsite. Oh, yeah. So I'm just fighting there. What's the point of this? Downgrading for the weekend. I've got to go somewhere where I'm upgraded. For my holidays. Not downgraded. Just going down the road there, but it's about 40 miles away. But it's Devon, Dorset. Yeah, County Dorset, but there's New Forest. Nice little campsite there, but the kids like it. I don't see why. Why do you like lying on the floor, sit on the floor, battering a bit of bread with your hand or something? It's ridiculous. Walk into the toilet for in the middle of the night for 40, trying to find the toilet, just peeing over your feet. I hate that. Just hate it. I don't mind doing that as a hobby, but in my own house, peeing over my feet.
yeah.
But why downgrade for a holiday? Upgrade, you want? Surely, you're not downgrade. Why are we living like animals? Why are we living like something, refugees want to escape from? There are refugee camps. They don't want to live there. We're paying money to live like a refugee.
That's true.
Doesn't make any sense to me. I'm free. I was born in this country. I've got a house. I've got a bed in the house, shower, all that. Electricity. Oh, let's get rid of that. Lie on the floor. Try to make a cup of tea on the floor.
I think it's going back to nature and stuff.
I don't want to go back to nature.
Right, okay.
Why do I want to go back there for? Going back...
Spent thousands of years getting away from
exactly,
nature.
Exactly, going back to... Why are we going back to it? We've decided it's not that good. We'll leave the animals in nature. We'll just build a house, yeah? You just crack on up there, deer and foxes. We'll crack on with the house, yeah? Yeah. I'm going back there.
Why do you even decide to go camping?
The kids love it. The kids love that rubbish. Do you know why? Because kids are animals. We are animals. But they are deconstructed animals. They're not quite sophisticated enough to understand that, do you know what? I don't like sleeping with a branch on my backside or uncomfortable bed or the wind blowing or any of that. I like traipsing across the grass for 40 yards to try and find the chemical toilet. I don't want to do that. They find that as an adventure. An adventure! Ooh!
Oh, well. Oh, have fun. Have a great weekend. I'll think of you while I'm in my house.
Thank you. One other thing. Good rugby game, wasn't it? The rugby.
Yeah. It's very good, isn't it?
Very good indeed. Yeah. Enjoy it, Pete. Yeah, enjoy it. Number one in the world. Apparently number one in the world. We're in England. Do you know where England are? Are they in the table?
It's east of Wales.
What's that?
East of Wales.
Down a bit. No, I said south, I'd say. South, actually. South of Wales on the table, isn't he?
Nah, I'd say east.
Yeah, there we are.
Well, it's just the World Cup, really. We've got to think about... As you said the other week, these Mickey Mouse games, I agree.
Well, do you know what? We were Mickey Mouse and you were Donald Duck there, and Donald Duck always, Mickey's the man with the cash. Donald's skint, really, isn't he? No wonder Donald's annoyed. Because I prefer Donald, but Mickey's got all the cash. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see.
I imagine Mickey behind closed doors is a nasty piece of work.
Right. I think you're more goofy.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be living like a dog this weekend. I know that for a fact.
There we go. Boom, boom.
Anyway. Oh, that's again, boys. I won't.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.